Right. Who's here for the first time today? Lisa Bell. Thank you. I trust that you're going to enjoy today with us. I trust that God's going to bless you, and I believe that God is going to speak to you. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
Well, bless God for that. For those of you that haven't been here for a while, or if this is the first time that you're here in a while, then I would like to say to you that I am sharing with you a series entitled God's Principles for Prosperity. How many of you know that the Lord wants us to be blessed? Right. A lot of people aren't blessed. Not because God doesn't want to bless us, but because we don't understand His principles. So far, if you came to the first and the second in the series, you would have seen that God is a God of abundance. That He loves to give His children abundantly, and when He gives us something, He always gives us His best. Still, there are many people who serve God who simply cannot accept this. I'm sure that all of you know at least some believers that find it difficult to believe that God wants to bless them. I shared with my team before we started the meeting and while we were praying outside, I said, isn't it amazing how we can always trust God to bless somebody else, but we find it extremely difficult to trust God to bless us? How many of you found that it's easy to pray for somebody else and have a lot of faith that it's going to happen, but it's sometimes very difficult to pray for yourself and have the same faith that it is going to happen? Have you ever heard people say the following? God gives us our needs, but not our wants. Who's heard that before? Wave at me. God gives us our needs, but not our wants. This is a very popular viewpoint in the Christian church. I say that it is a popular viewpoint in the Christian church, but we have to ask the question, is this a biblical viewpoint or is this not a biblical viewpoint? In order to answer that, I want to share with you a scripture from the book of Psalm chapter 37, verse 3 and verse 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That comes from the New International Version. Now I'm going to give you the Old King James Version. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily shall thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. I'm going to repeat that because I want you to listen carefully. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily shall thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. In other words, if we look at what the King James Version says, he says there, trusting in the Lord will lead to your basic needs being met. Because he says, trust in the Lord and thou shall be fed. All right? Trusting in the Lord means that your basic needs will be met. In other words, you will have food in your cupboards. There will be money for school fees for the children. There will be petrol in the tank, etc., etc. Basic needs. But it doesn't stop there. Trusting means to have faith that God is your provider. Trusting means that you have faith that God is in charge of your life, that He knows what is best, and that He will never, never fail you. Listen carefully. Trusting in the Lord means you have chosen to put Him in charge of your life. You agree that He knows better than you, and you know that it will never go badly for you. Why is it so difficult for us to believe that? Huh? Why is it so difficult for us to believe that if we trust God, that God is going to be there for us and He will never fail us? But then he also says, the second part of that scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord. Now listen to this. He says if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? What would you say? Okay, come stand here for me. You were a good actor when you were at school, weren't you? All right. You see your husband for the first time. This is the man that knocks. Oh, yeah, there we go. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Now, let's take it one step further. Now, your husband comes through the door with this huge big bouquet of, what do you like, roses? Not stinkweed. Flowers. All right. Do you? She likes flowers. All right. Now, let's see the look on your face when he comes. Okay, and do you like chocolates? So you have no problem with your figure. You okay? He can leave the flowers. Oh, okay. Leave the flowers, bring the chocolates. They'll bring both. He's coming through the door. He's got a box of chocolates. He's got a whole big bouquet of flowers. Let me see what's happening there. Don't go any further. This is X-rated or G-rated. Yeah, sorry, it's G-rated. Stop right there. In other words, now she's delighting herself in her husband. She's excited. Show me that excited look again. All right, she's excited. Can you see that? When you delight yourself in the Lord, you are excited about Him. You're enthusiastic about Him. You sort of can't stand still. If your husband tells you that he's just won the lotto or something, what's going to happen to you? There we go, there we go. This is what you look like when you delight yourself in God. Thank you, you can sit down. You get excited about Him. You don't care what other people think. So what they think? This is something between you and God. You don't care what people think. You are excited, you're exuberant. You start freaking out, but in a nice way, all right? In a nice way. So to delight yourself in the Lord means to be excited about God, about His presence in your life, and to joyfully live your life to please Him. This is why a lot of people don't get the desires of their heart, because they live to please themselves. If it's good for me, it's good. If it's not good for me, it's not good. Have you noticed that there are many things that is good for you, for the flesh, that the Bible says, ooh, don't do that. When you delight yourself in God, you begin to take that which pleases Him seriously, and you begin to live to do that which pleases Him. And the Bible says when you do that, you will find that even the desires of your heart, God will begin to grant you. So, when we begin to delight ourselves in the Lord, God will begin to look upon our requests with favor, and thereby He will grant us the desires of our heart. Now, I want you to think about this. The desires of your heart, can they ever fall into the category of barely enough? What is the desire in your heart? What would you say is a desire in your heart? Okay, to get a job, but that's need. The Lord also wants to give you your wants. What do you want? A house. What kind of house? Come on. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. When you talk to God, you have to be specific. What does the house look like? Where is it situated? In the Mayor's Dahl Nature Estate. How many of you know that is definitely a desire? Amen. Hello. It's in the Mayor's Dahl Nature Estate. And how many rooms does it have? 5 bedrooms, a swimming pool, a jacuzzi, a gourmet kitchen. Rudy, I've got work for you. All right? And what else? What is in the garage? Let's just check. Wait. We've heard yours. Now, your house, where is it situated? Your dream house, the desire of your heart, where is it? Don't say Springs, please, man. How's your mind? No, what's wrong with you, dude? Oh, in Springbok. Where's Springbok? On the Western Cape. All right, so now you have a house in Springbok, not Springs, and does it overlook the ocean? Yes, and what is in the garage? An X6, a times 6. One of those huge, big ones. Now, listen to me. If God wants to grant you the desires of your heart, the average person's desires is not, oh Lord, please, I just don't have enough food. If you can just bless me that, ek moet net nie totaal krepeer nie, Here, asseblief. Okay. I know that doesn't make sense to the English people, but you don't pray the desires of your heart and ask for barely enough. If God wants to grant you the desires of your heart, He wants to give you the good things, because people's desires are generally for good things. They are generally for big things. plenty of food, nice homes, decent cars, etc., etc. There are some ladies sitting here that is trusting God. The desire of their heart is to have a good husband. I know that you don't believe this, but there are still some of them out there. Hello? Just nudge the person next to you and say, I just heard a miracle today. There are still good men out there. Yes. But you see, that is a desire. That is not a need. That is a desire. Most women just need a man. No, you should desire a good man. And then when God gives you the desire of your heart, then you're going to be like all excited all the time because God gave you the best. Now listen to me. Whether you like it or not, whether the people that taught you before taught you this or not, I don't care. The Bible says God actually wants to grant us the desires of our heart. And the Word of God says, when we meet His conditions, He will. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. According to your faith, will it be done unto you. Listen carefully. Not according to your wife's faith. Not according to your mother-in-law's faith. Not according to your children's faith. But according to your faith, will it be done unto you. These words were spoken by Jesus. You see, there were two blind men that came to him that wanted to see. Jesus asked them this question, do you believe that I can do this thing for you? And they answer, yes, Lord, we believe. And then he says to them, according to your faith will it be done unto you. And from that moment, their eyes were opened. According to your faith. So what Jesus was really saying is that my faith, your faith, our outlook on life, and our desire plays a massive role in how God works in our life. If your expectation has always been for just enough, then don't be surprised if that is what you are sitting with right now. If you can only trust God to barely fill your tank, if you can only trust God for the end of the month salty crack snack, then that's all that you are going to have. Because you aren't trusting Him for bigger things. You aren't trusting Him for the abundance that He would like to give you. Listen to me. When it is your child's birthday, being a father or a mother, do you go out to the flea market and buy them a 10 rand little car? Or do you do as much as you can with what you have available to you? Come on. How many of you are good parents here and you believe in spoiling your children now and then? Just wave at me. Well, good. Do you know why we are like that? Because we were created by a great father who loves his children, who gets excited about them and wants to bless them with good things. So why is it that we can do that for our children, but we can't see that God would want to do that for me? How ridiculous is that? That's just plain stupid. Of course, well, God wants to give you the good things. Now, if you have believed the devil's lies that Christians should be poor and humble, you obviously cannot have many desires in your heart, which means that God can't give you anything because there are no desires in your heart. There are many poor people in this world. Some people say that's just the way it's supposed to be. Biblically, that's not the way it's supposed to be. I can't talk for the unbeliever, but I can talk for the child of God that knows the Lord and that serves the Lord, who has realized that he has a heavenly Father up there that loves him and is excited about him. God wants to bless you with his best. But so often the way we grew up influences our outlook on life and our relationship with God. And so many people just cannot trust God for good things in life. It's time we adjusted our attitude and our expectation to be in line with what God teaches in His Word and not according to man's opinion. I've heard a lot of pastors. I watch TBN a lot. I like to watch TBN. I like to hear what the other oaks are preaching. Sometimes my hair stands on end when I hear what some of these oaks rattle off. A lot of people have a problem and they say, ah, you know what, these people, they only teach health and wealth and prosperity. Listen carefully to me. Jesus died on that cross so that you can live. He was bruised for your iniquities. He was wounded for your transgressions. By his stripes you are healed. Why shouldn't we preach health if it was paid for on the cross? The Bible says Jesus was made poor so that in him we can become rich. Listen here, for goodness sakes, you want to come here and let me teach you that it is good to be pious, it is good to be poor, it is good to be suffering, because probably some good is going to come from it. No. I have to teach you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says God's heart for us is to be healthy, to be wealthy, and to be prosperous. Now please understand this, we're not all going to be millionaires. Hello? Because I still have a calling on my life. But God wants me to be abundantly blessed within the calling that He has for my life. If my calling is to be a blue chip company CEO, executive, whatever, then probably I'm going to be a little bit more blessed than the average teacher. But that doesn't mean for one second that that teacher cannot be abundantly blessed within their call. Hello? That teacher shouldn't be falling apart. You know, a lot of people pray a lot, but the only thing they ever ask for is money, 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 money. Prayer is not there to ask for money, 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 money. Those things should come because we know the Lord and we honor God and we live our life according to His promises. And then when we have to pray, we can begin to pray for our country. We can begin to pray for that mother-in-law. If there are any mother-in-laws here, I don't have a problem with you. We can begin to pray for the neighbor that hoist the music up till 3-4 o'clock in the morning, because then God has met our needs and blessed us with at least some of our wants. Romans chapter 3 verse 4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. Look at your neighbor and say this: if you don't believe what the Word of God teaches, you are a liar. How's that? There's only one truth in this world. The truth is not with your dominie. It's not with your pastor. It's not with your cell group leader. It's not with your mother. It's not with your father. It's not with your opa or your oma. It's not by your skalampini, bakirio. The truth is with the Word of God. And anybody that tries to teach you anything that is not in line with the Word of God, the Bible calls them a liar. Can I tell you why Christianity is in a crisis right now? Because we believe a lot of lies. Even from the pulpit, we are taught lies. But that's your and my fault as well, because we should check these things that we get taught. Hello? If it's rubbish, it's rubbish. The Bible says, no, the Bible doesn't say that, but you should believe this. Call a spade and not an agricultural instrument. Hello? If it's rubbish, it's rubbish. Don't listen to that stuff. I want to ask you a question. If I were to ask you today, if you believe that it's God's will to bless you, who of you could raise your hands and say, I truly believe that? If you're not raising your hands right now, you are either deaf, or you have a serious problem with rebellion. And I suggest you come for prayer afterwards, either way. Good. No, no, keep your hands up. Look around you. Look around you. Everybody in this place does at least believe that the Word of God teaches us that God wants to bless us. Now, let me show you why you should believe that. Thank you. In order for us to get a biblical answer, let's see what God's Word says about this. And in order to do that, I want to show you what God said to Abraham when God called Abraham to be one of his children. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of this earth will be blessed through you. Now, one day, Abraham was minding his own business, trying his best to live his life and be at least happy, be at least a little bit prosperous, a little bit blessed. How many of you know it's sometimes hard work to just live? Abraham was doing that. He was going through the motions. He was trying to live life. He was trying to live a full life. And then, lo and behold, God came into his life. God came and spoke to him. And guess what God says to him? Listen, yeah, Abraham, I've got some good news for you. I have a better life for you. A better life than the one that you're struggling to live right now. God says to him, if you choose, I want you to lay down this old life and I want you to choose a new life. Follow me. Follow my purpose for your life and allow me to be in control of your life. You know, man is always fighting to be in control of their lives. Every time you've made a massive mistake, some of you should be nodding now because you know exactly what I'm talking about, is when you took back the reins and insisted on being in control. Because if God truly is in control, the massive mistakes don't happen. Because he knows the future. If you leave him in control, he'll tell you, listen, yeah, there's a big fat ditch there. If you keep on this road, you're going to fall into it. Listen, yeah, the devil set up a trap for you there. Don't go there. Rather go here. But you see, often we think we know better. We know what the Bible says, but what's the worst that can happen? That's why people get divorced. Because they said, what's the worst that can happen? That's why businesses go bankrupt. Because they say, what's the worst that can happen? When you fight God for the control of your life, the pauper will always hit the fan in your life. So God says to him, I've got something better for you. Now, in order for Abraham to accept God's call for his life, God says, you will have to lay down your former life. What does laying it down mean? You take it, you pull it off you, you put it down, and you walk away. And you leave it there. Amen? God expects Abraham to lay down his previous life. Now similarly, God has called you and you and you and every one of you, including myself. Praise God for that. And here's some interesting news. In order for you to accept God's call, you're going to have to do what Abraham did. Just like he had to lay down his old life and say goodbye to that old lifestyle. In order for us to get to the place that God is truly in control of our life, we too have to lay down our old life. And we have to leave it and move on. You see, becoming a child of God and truly following him will always, always cost you a price. But the good news is, the heavy price was paid by Jesus. It's not going to cost you that much. But if you truly choose to follow God and you are not willing to lay down your old life, my friend, you are going to get nowhere. You're going to become a very frustrated Christian because you'll hear the promises of God but never see them manifest in your life. You'll see the prosperity of others, but you'll never see prosperity in your own life. You'll see breakthroughs and miracles in other people's lives, but you yourself will always be left wanting. When it comes to that. Because you see, the promises are for those that chose to leave the old life and accept the new one that God has for us. And let me just say outright, it is a difficult choice to make. But it's a bargain once you've made it. Hello? It's brilliant once you've made it. Now, the rewards for Abraham, if he was to accept God's call, were immense. Listen to this. Primarily, God ensures Abraham that if he chooses to do what God wants him to do, if he chooses to lay down his old life and take up a new life for himself, then from that moment, God would take care of him and God would bless him. Now I'm going to show you some of the promises that God spoke over Abraham because of his obedience. Number one, God would bless him with land, a place of his own, a home. And not just any home, a home in the center of the land that overflows with milk and honey. In fact, God promised Abraham the entire land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. Hello? What kind of a blessing did God have in store for Abraham for his obedience? Was it a Mickey Mouse house? Was it an outhouse? Was it the little shack upon Doki? Or was it this great expanse of the most fertile and blessed land ever. The promises of God are often much bigger than we can comprehend. I wonder what went through Abraham's mind when God told him, "That's where I'm going to take you." Must have been like, "Wow, how could this be?" But it happened. You see, God's way of thinking and our way of thinking is not always the same, and that's why we lose out on a lot of His promises. Because we are limited by a mind that thinks small. God has limitless power, limitless abilities. So He's not worried about those things. The second thing is, God promises Abraham, if he lays down his old life and follows God, he would find his place in life. What do I mean by that? I don't mean he will find a house, a home, etc., etc. He'll find out who he is. He'll find out where God wants him to go. Do you know that there are two different paths that a man can take? You can either live your own life and fight God's plan for your life. That's like swimming upstream. Have you ever tried to swim upstream? Any of you? It's a very dangerous thing. Because you get more and more and more tired. Even in the church, there are a lot of people. Instead of allowing God to show them their place in life. In other words, begin to reveal to them, why did I put you here? What are my plans for you? Where am I going with your life? They are fighting to do it their way. And then you become tired. When was the last time you watched a tired toddler? You have never seen so many tantrums in your life. Can I tell you that we've got a lot of toddlers, even yet today? Because you are fighting God, you become tired, and you hoy tantrum after tantrum after tantrum. Why this? Why that? God's got favorites. God doesn't care about me. Wada, wada, wada. You're probably swimming upstream right now. When you should be going downstream, and you'll get there a lot sooner. The next promise, God promises to make him into a great nation. In other words, in order for him to be a great nation, it means he would leave a legacy. His descendants would be taken care of. A lot of you sitting here, and I'm not speaking against that, but you're putting a lot of money into retirement annuities and into policies and into unit trusts and shares and wada wada so that you could take care of yourself for your old day and so that you could maybe leave a little bit of something for your children. What you leave for your children and what God can leave through you is two different things. Abraham became the father of nations because he trusted God, because he obeyed the call of God. Abraham provided not just for Isaac and for Jacob, but some of what he did is still providing for you and I today. Now I want to tell you something. Abraham, even though he was a wonderful man, wasn't special. There's nothing different about him than there is about you. The one thing that made him different is he chose to obey God, where a lot of people today choose to fight God. Then the Lord says to him, the next promise is, I will bless you personally. In other words, what you do, what you get involved with, is going to prosper. The word bless here implies God's supernatural power being made available to a person to be prosperous, to live in peace, to have good health, to be prosperous. The Lord would make His name great. That's the following promise. In other words, if your name is great, it means you have a good reputation. Tell me something. In this world, does a good reputation help or hinder you? Who says it helps you? Who says it hinders you? A good reputation is amazing because it goes before you and opens doors for you. When people realize, oh, this is that person, they're like, they stand to attention. They're all excited to meet you. They can't wait to give you what you want and what you need. Listen to me. The reason why some of us come in front of open door after open, closed after closed after closed door is because we don't have a reputation. The only way for you to have a good reputation is if God touches your life and releases in you a good reputation. It instantly changes the way people look at you. It instantly changes the way people think about you. You know, when somebody's life gets touched by God, they sometimes find that people that couldn't stand them before suddenly begin to tolerate them. Can I tell you why? Because when the fire of God burns in somebody's life, that fire illuminates and pushes away the darkness. Hello? And so the darkness that was in that person's heart towards you is illuminated. And they suddenly can't realize, but why did I never like this oak? I mean, what was the story? It's gone. God takes care of it. And then he ends off by saying to Abraham, when somebody curses you, I will curse them. Now that's a big promise. There's always going to be people in this world that don't like us. They don't want us to be prosperous. They don't want us to go anywhere. God says, if you choose to follow me, if you choose to be obedient, if you lay down your old life, then I take responsibility for you. And if somebody is against you, then they are against me. Don't worry about them. I will sort them out. I'll tell you one thing. There are a lot of you in this place today. You have enemies, people that don't like you. If you can just get to the place where Abraham is, your enemies are going to have a big wake-up call. Because whatever they speak over you, whatever they wish over you, is probably going to just come back to them. Hello? The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. He that uses it will eat its fruit. If I bless this woman, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord prosper you. What am I speaking into her life? Good fruit. And the Bible says one day that fruit will come back to me and I'll have to eat it. If I spoke apples and oranges and pears and papayas and mangoes into her life, man, I'm going to have a good life. But a lot of us, we don't speak that. We speak poison ivy. We speak thorns and thistles. Kakibos. I've heard of people smoking it. I don't know that you should be eating it. I have a suspicion you are going to have some serious indigestion in your future. Amen? Well, bless God. So what does that mean for you and I? Well, right. Those who God calls, God wants to bless. That should be clear to you by now. In fact, Abraham's blessings affected every single area of his life. Look at the person next to you and say, every area. No, you didn't mean that. Try it again. Speak it from your heart. I like that better, much better. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. Listen to this. This is amazing. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Wow. And this oak was even blessed on the toilet. Come on, the Bible says every way. Every area of his life was blessed. He never had constipation. Yeah. And because God blessed him, his wife dropped her attitude. How's that? I see a lot of you repenting right now because you envision a new wife somewhere. Probably you envision a new husband, yes. So, it wasn't just in health. It wasn't just in wisdom. It wasn't just in finances. But God blessed this man in every area of his life. Similarly, it's God's heart to bless you and to bless me in a similar way. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. Jesus redeemed us on the cross, in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. Listen to this. This is powerful. One of the reasons Jesus died on a cross is so that he could receive God's curse, so that we could have the opposite of a curse, which is what? The blessing. But not just any blessing. The Bible says the reason Jesus died on a cross was so that the blessing spoken over Abraham could be released on the Gentiles. Please raise your hand and say, I'm a Gentile. According to the Bible, you are. Because Gentiles were simply non-Jews in the days that the Bible was written. The blessings spoken over Abraham are not just spoken for him and his direct descendants, the Jews. They also have bearing over my life and your life. But most people never live it because we don't understand how these things work. When was the last time you saw a Jew that wasn't prosperous? Come on. I don't doubt that there are some of them out there that are battling. But I think if you were to look percentage-wise at the amount of Jews that are totally, phenomenally, mind-blowingly blessed, and you look at the Afrikaner or you look at the Portuguese, you will find a big discrepancy there. Because they are just so much more blessed. But it should be that way for you and I. Because the Bible clearly says that those same blessings that they manifest daily should be manifesting in your life. How can I say that? Because Jesus died to make it possible for those blessings to be upon your life. The problem is, although Jesus has done this, although it has been made available to us through Him, many either don't know about it or they simply couldn't care about it. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected the knowledge, I will also reject you as my priests." There are many, many believers today living in abject poverty. Never having enough, always wanting, always struggling, always falling apart, battling from day to day. That is not scriptural. If you are living your life that way, then I have to tell you today there is something wrong in your life. But I have some good news for you. If you fix what's wrong, these promises are for you. These blessings are available to you. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. We love to quote this, but we don't stop to think what it really means. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope. Plans to give you a future." So there you have it, straight from the horse's mouth. Prosperity is not the same as poverty. Listen to me. Prosperity is not the same as poverty. "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to make you poor." No. Plans to prosper you. Please look at the person next to you. If it's not your husband, don't look deep into his eyes. And say the following: God really wants to prosper you. What is it to prosper? I've taken this from the Webster's English Dictionary. To prosper means to succeed in an enterprise or in an activity. In other words, the opposite of failure. It means to achieve economic success. That should get you all smiling. Because to be economically successful means that you are way above what is considered average. Hello? Prosperity. It means to be strong and flourishing. It means to cause to succeed and to thrive. How many of you feel that that is not applicable to your life? Let me put it to you this way. How many of you feel that when this was spoken, when prosperity was spoken, that's not something that you want? In other words, you don't want to be successful. You don't want economic success. You don't want to be flourishing. You don't want to thrive. Anybody? Any takers? I'll have to cast that demon of stupidity out of you right now. Come on. This is something that we should all want. And this is what the Bible says God has in store for you. Abraham experienced this prosperous life. David experienced it. Solomon experienced it. And so do many others daily. Now let's look at how the psalmist puts this. "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." I'm going to read it again, and I want you to press record and remember this. And if you forget it, just go today to the Psalms, Psalm 112, verse 1 to 3. 112, verse 1 to 3. Listen to this. "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands." What did the Lord say earlier on? It says, if we trust in the Lord, he will bless us. If we delight in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. Here he confirms it in the Psalms. "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land." Going to Sanlam, going to Old Mutual, will probably do something for your children. But we all know that inheritances are often squandered. And by the time the child is 22 years old, they've got nothing left. But God says, for certain people, my favor, my blessing, my prosperity will not just be upon you, but it will be upon your children. Do you want your children to be blessed? Then hear what the word of God says. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house. Just say this with me out loud. Wealth and riches.
Wealth and riches.
According to some, you're not allowed to say those two words in the church. Apparently, it's very unspiritual to speak that way. Rubbish. The Bible says, this is what should be in your house. Wealth and riches. But remember, the focus of the one that receives the wealth and riches are on God and not on the wealth and riches. And that's where a lot of people make the mistake. They want to come to God, they hear about this, and it's like, where's my money? I've been in church twice now. Why haven't I got a BM? That's not the way it works. You have to honor God. You have to love Him. You have to put Him first. If you love the Lord and honor Him with your life, then this promise is for you. God's will for your household is wealth and riches, not poverty and lack. There are very few parents in this world that don't want the best for their children. Most parents will make sacrifices to give their children the good things in life. Who of you can say, as you are sitting here, you either are making sacrifices now or you've made sacrifices in the past to bless your children? You want them to have what you didn't have. Can I tell you what? God doesn't have to make no sacrifices because to Him belong the cattle on 1,000 hills. He just has to give it. That's all. Psalm 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Ooh. None of you look as surprised as I was when I saw this. Listen again. Let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. What is one of the things that gets God all excited? To see you prosper. Hello? God loves to see you prosper. And if He loves to see you prosper, then I promise you, He's not impressed to see you fail. Because His heart is to see you prosper. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. Listen here. If you haven't figured this out by now, then I don't know what to do for you. But if you look at all of these scriptures that we looked at today, you should know that you know that when God looks at your life, He's got good plans for you. He's excited about you and He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to have abundance in your life. He doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want you to fall apart. He wants to bless you. In conclusion, too many people believe that you can only be blessed by God with spiritual things. In other words, it's okay to pray for love because love is spiritual. It's not okay to pray to be blessed financially. That's ridiculous. God wants to bless you with all things, just like Abraham was blessed with all things. It's okay to pray for favor or for peace or for joy because those things are sort of spiritual. But it's not okay to pray for the rent money at the end of the month. You see, that's your problem. You shouldn't be praying just for the rent money. You should be praying for a lot more. Then when God blesses you with a lot more, then you can go and bless somebody else. I want to show you something quickly. George, come here for me quickly, please. All right. I have something here in my hand. What have I got in my hand? It's 100 rand. All right. Would you say that it is God's heart to bless this man or not? So in other words, George, open your hand. If I was to bless you with this, would that be God's will? Would it be God's will? Now, I want to show you something. Let's say God wants to use him to bless me. Bless me with it. Look at his hand. What do you notice? I'm going to turn it around. Keep your hand that way. The moment you bless others, you've set yourself up to receive. Close your hand. If your hands are like this, it is impossible for you to be blessed. But when your hands are like this, they are open to receive. In other words, if you bless me, then God can double and give back. How's that? Bless God. God bless. You can put that in the offering. How's that? Then God will bless you twice as much. Okay. The only one that wants us to think that it is okay to have just sort of enough, just barely enough, just, Lord, just help me to get by, is the devil. Satan loves it when we believe that our destiny, it is our destiny to become spiritual through suffering, because there's nothing in the Bible about that. That way we reject God's abundant blessings for ourselves, and he doesn't even have to steal them. We are giving them to him. John 8 verse 44 says, Satan is a liar and he is the father of lies. Some of the lies that he tells us on a fairly frequent basis concerning prosperity is the following. Number one, riches is bad for your spiritual life. I don't think so. If your focus is on the riches, yes. But riches are the manifestation of a good spiritual life when God truly blesses you and you walk in his favor. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
The next one that he tells us, the lie that he tells us is, you can't trust God for wealth and riches. The Bible says you can. The Bible says God wants to bless you and God wants to prosper you. And if you already know that that is God's will, then you should be praying God's will back to him. Who knows the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, say it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We are taught to pray God's will back to him. And today you saw that it is God's will to bless you, to prosper you. So why would it be wrong to pray that God would do that? That's what we are commanded to do. The next lie that the devil gives us. God only wants to bless certain people. How ridiculous is that? Huh? If you have 5 children in your home, you don't buy the one a four-wheeler and the rest must walk to school. Okay, I know in some households it actually goes that way, so that's probably a stupid analogy. But God wants to bless every single one of his children. Can I tell you how I can prove it to you? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, all inclusive, that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever, all inclusive, believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God doesn't just love one or two. He loves everybody. He's not just excited about one or two, he's excited about everybody, and he wants to bless everybody. The next lie that the devil gives us is, you will not be blessed because of your past. In other words, you've messed up so badly, you shouldn't ask God for nothing. Who of you have heard that lie? Come, be honest. Your past is too bad, you've messed up too much. Listen here. You're not going to tell God something he doesn't know. He knew about it. Why do you think Jesus had to die on that cross? To make a way for you to get rid of your past. The Apostle Paul says, one of the things we need to do when we become a child of God, we enter the race of life, stop looking back and start looking forward. God doesn't want you to look back. The devil does. Come, Cozzy. It's Cozzy, eh? Why? Did you have a Cosworth when you were younger or something? You yes, wish. Sir. You're getting there. Yeah, speak it over yourself. That's it. All right. If let's just say, for example, listen, I can't keep taking money out, so I'm just going to have to bless him with his own coke. Let's just say this represents God's blessing. Would you say that God wants to bless this man? No, man, you don't look excited about that. I told you, you have to have an expectation. Okay, God wants to bless him with more than that. I'm going to bless you with his handbag too. How's that? And by that, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with him. All right, he's got a wife and children. I mean, come on. You shouldn't even be thinking that stuff. Now, God wants to bless him abundantly. Now, Cozzy, take the blessing. There we go. Somebody that is looking forward, expecting the blessing, can receive it. Now, give it back to me. Uncle Ed, come and help me here quickly, please. You just hold on to this blessing for me quickly. Now, Paul said, look forward. No. Okay. Paul said, look forward. Do you have things in your past that you are not proud of?
Yes.
I'm so glad you came to church today. I'm only joking, man. Come on. All right. Paul said, look forward. Now the devil wants you to look back. So he's going to stand here and chitty. And what he wants to do is he wants to take your focus. You must keep looking forward, but you must start, you must face forward, but you must look back. Are you double jointed or not? I can't pray for you to be. So just make a plan and do the best you can. Look back. Okay, just for today, for argument's sake, you are the devil. Come here. We'll release you from bondage when we finish. There we go. No, man, you're not the devil. Don't stress. But you have to be behind here, and you are reminding him of his past. Okay. Now, there is this thing going on between the two of you. He is taking up your attention. Can you see what happens the moment you begin to live in the past? Where is his focus? It's behind him. I want you to extend his blessings. Is the blessings here? Yes. Are they available? Yes. Is he receiving them? No. Why? Because he's looking in the wrong place. You can't be blessed because you were so bad. Listen here. It's time to just, everybody stretch out your hand to the devil and say, devil, futsak. And the moment he starts looking forward again, he can see the blessings. You can receive the blessings. Was it your wife's handbag? Then you better give it back. All right, the last lie that the devil gives us, and all of you have heard this lie before. You aren't good enough to be blessed. You aren't good enough to be blessed. Says who? Listen, yeah, you must understand something today. Not everybody's opinion has the same weight. And Satan's opinion has no weight. Rather trust in the opinion of God. Put your faith in God's opinion and put no faith in Satan's opinion. He's just being nasty. That's all. All right. You know what? I'm going to just end off now. And I'm going to say to you that what I was doing in the last 3 weeks is giving you a foundation that you could build your faith on to begin to trust God, to be blessed, and to be prosperous. Now, that's not the full picture. The rest we're going to get to next week and in the weeks to come. Because all of these things are conditional. Just because God wants to bless you doesn't mean a lot of people are blessed. In fact, a lot of people aren't blessed because they are not meeting God's conditions. I will end off by sharing this with you. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing will be withheld from those whose walk is blameless. It doesn't say there that no good thing will be withheld from God's children. It says no good things will be withheld from those whose walk is blameless. In other words, there is a condition, walk blamelessly. Hello? And then you can expect all of these blessings. But if you don't expect them. So in the days that lie ahead, I'm going to show you some of the things, the conditions that probably some of us are not meeting. And therefore we hear about prosperity, but we don't see it in our own life. Listen, yeah. My heart for you is that you are going to be blessed abundantly. Above all you could ever hope, wish, ask, or dream about. Because that's what God wants for you. And therefore, I have to teach you what God's principles are so that you can apply them in your life and experience what God wants to give you. Did anybody learn something today? Amen. Please give the Lord a big hand. All right, can I ask the team to come forward for me, please? Jose, will you help me? Because I think there's a couple of oaks on holiday today.